to Facilitating the Mission, the podcast for Shepherd Staff Mission Facilitators, where our heart beats that churches would send their missionaries well. We do all we can to help with that. My name is Ed Compion.
And my name is Jeff Jackson.
And we're continuing our series on the mission stream, speaking of the flow that happens as churches and the individuals that make up those churches join in with the missionary God to reach that which is lost among the nations.
Yeah, and we're excited to continue on with this, and actually we're kind of in an interesting section of the stream today. So Ed, why don't you introduce that idea?
We're speaking of when someone has joined the stream, or a church has joined the stream, and now they can look forward and there's some rapids ahead. There's something that's going to get a little bouncy, maybe a little scary as the mission stream continues.
Exactly. And, you know, when the headwaters of this mission stream, as we've talked about before, are, you know, when a church or individuals in that church grasp that the God they serve is the missionary God, a flow begins. And we've talked about what that flow looks like for the individual and for local churches. And then last time we talked about the idea that that flow then leads to an area of deepening and widening. And in the midst of that area of deepening and widening, sometimes that's where the individual feels a call to go, and that call is confirmed by the church leadership. And particularly when that happens, when a church and an individual within that church is confirmed in their call to go, then what's ahead for them is what we refer to and what we're going to talk about here as the rapids.
You know, included in these rapids are those things that we don't always see. As you look out at a river, you can see maybe there's some rocks underneath, or where there's a sinkhole or something, where there's just turbulence. But there's also some unseen rapids. I want to give you an illustration of this. Years ago, my wife and I hired a guide. We were going to whitewater raft the Tana River in a central part of Kenya. And, you know, as he's teaching us how to duck down and row on this side and row on that side and do all the things you need in the water, he says, just listen to my instructions very well. He says, but the other thing I need to warn you about is as we're going down this river, we're going to pass through under some trees. He says, look in the trees. You don't want a snake jumping off the tree and into the raft. Apparently this happened before. And I thought, crud. You know, I'm looking at the water in case there's any problems, but there's actually danger coming from above. And so apparently, even in our mission life, there are those things that we don't always see. They're not always coming. The danger's not always obvious to us.
And really, that's kind of why we use that terminology of rapids, because as you take seriously God's call to touch the world, and especially when an individual's heard the call and the church has recognized their call and the decision's been made, there's going to be obstacles. There's going to be distractions. The enemy's going to go to work overtime to try to derail this process of making an impact against his kingdom in any way possible. So when we're talking about rapids, we're talking about like these variety of dangers that are both under the surface and above the surface, like Ed just said. And the reality of it is, if we're not prepared for them, even though some of them might catch us by surprise, if we know that they're there, then we're going to respond properly to them, and we're going to continue to be able to flow down the stream to make that global impact we want to.
We're going to be able to mention several obvious rapids, several obvious problems that can come in this stream, but never be surprised. There's ones that we've never thought of, we've never experienced, that come, because the enemy of our souls is always trying to defeat the work of the Lord. So, yeah. So Jeff, what are some obvious?
Yeah, you know, some of the obvious ones, and I remember this even when God called my wife and I to go, and that was confirmed by the leaders of the church, and this sounds kind of crazy, but the reality of it is there are theological and philosophical dangers that make up these rapids. And what I mean by that specifically is there are people in the local church and even friends, close Christian friends of the missionary, or even leaders in their local church, that basically say, hey, wait a minute. Why are you going to move your family all the way to the other side of the world with all the dangers involved, with all the costs involved, when there's such a great need here still in America? Why put time, energy, resources to disconnect from here to go somewhere else around the world? And that needs to be, that's an obstacle that we need to be prepared to meet and know how to navigate.
Well, and they may have a very good point, but we need to be prepared to answer that for when that question comes. And if we can't answer it, I think it's a valid question, actually.
I think it's absolutely a valid question. And in fact, I had somebody ask me that just like 2 nights ago as I was preparing to do a session at a local church here. One of the people that I met with asked that question. And the simple answer to it, I mean, there's two angles to it I usually answer with. The simplest answer is, hey, number one, the Great Commission is still there.
Yeah.
Go and make disciples. Those that already know Jesus are called to go and bring other people to come to know him. And those other people are from other peoples, tribes, nations, and tongues. And the majority of them live in places outside of the United States. So the reason why we still send people, regardless of what the situation is here in our own country, is because the Great Commission is to make disciples of all the ethnic groups, and they're scattered around the earth.
Yeah, that's right. And here in America, anybody can have the gospel at their, you know, convenience. It's on the radio, it's on the television, certainly on the internet.
Yes.
Certainly, there's no town in America that doesn't have at least a church that gives a testimony, yet there are many places in the world where that is not accessible.
Yeah, and that's really the second part of the argument that I usually use is accessibility. So I usually kind of go at it from this angle. Hey, if somebody in the United States wakes up tomorrow morning and decides, hey, you know what, I want to get right with God, are there any resources available to them? Well, hey, how about 5 Christian radio stations, a church within a rock's throw of any direction from where they live, television stations? If somebody wakes up tomorrow in America and wants access to the gospel, they have more resources available than they would ever be able to access.
Yeah, and it may not be from our personal faith heritage, but there is a viable,
absolutely,
you know, testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ somewhere close by. That's not to say there isn't work to be done here. There's plenty of work to be done here.
Not at all. Not demeaning that at all. It's not an either or. It's a both and.
Amen.
And then the second way I kind of wrap that up is I say, so if you compare that to somebody that's from an ethnic group in central India, and they wake up tomorrow morning and they decide something's wrong between them and their creator, what access do they have to resources? There may not be a Bible in their written language. There be maybe not another Christian in sight, or another Christian at least from their people that speak their language and their culture. And so when missionaries go, one of the things that is made clear to those that we go to is that, hey, this God must really love me if he would call this American family to leave everything behind and live here among us and learn my language and understand my culture in order to present the truth about their God. What kind of God is that? Very few other gods are doing that.
Amen. I would add another thought on this. As much as our Lord calls us to be diligent and to be good stewards and such, his use of time, talents, and treasure are way beyond the natural. They're supernatural. And so sending someone is never a natural subtraction from the local church. It's actually an addition to the local church.
Yeah. And again, it's common sense. But sometimes, you know, we navigate, especially in our culture, even among Christians, we navigate from a starting point of safety, security, minimized risk as much as possible. If you do take a risk, make sure you have insurance to cover it. All these kind of things can actually be thrown up into the path of somebody that's heard the call to go, or thrown up into the path of the leadership of that church that's going to send them.
Yeah, and then we end up operating in fear, don't we?
Yeah,
exactly. Well, what's another point, Jeff?
Another point, I think, another one that we need to be aware of is like spontaneous or urgent local needs that come up, you know, during that process of getting to the field. There may be an earthquake locally, or some natural disaster that takes place locally. There may be a slowdown in the economy, or a sudden slowdown in the economy. There's a number of things that can happen in our local context, our local community, that can actually derail us from that path.
Sure. Would you include maybe a church going through a building project or something like that, where attention is getting distracted from international works?
Yeah, a church going through a church deciding finally, hey, you know what, it's not good stewardship for us to rent anymore. We're going to start a building fund, and we're actually going to move forward with our building project. That can derail a missionary on the way to the field. Even as sad as it is to say, one of the leaders, especially the pastor, maybe falls into sin. That can derail the path of a missionary going to the field. As sad as it is to say, again, a church split where certain leaders in the church are dissatisfied, and you guys all know what a church split is, and now a church of 100 or 200 people, a large portion of them have left for whatever reason. So there's all these things that can happen locally within the sphere of where the missionary on the on his path to the field lives that can derail him. And we need to be prepared for all of these things.
Absolutely. What else, Jeff?
I think if you just kind of amplify that to national stuff, there's national needs that can derail us kind of along the same lines.
Sure.
I even think of I even think of when we're ready to go to the Philippines in September of 1987, the government over there was a bit unstable. 3 weeks before we leave, there was a massive coup attempt trying to overthrow the government. And as you're in the path, you've got your tickets purchased, you're taking your wife, your three kids, 9 years old, 8 years old, 1 year old, to fly to a country that the military just tried to overthrow the government. I mean, I encountered so much resistance from key people in the church, people in my life that I loved and trusted, and even my mom and dad, that we were nuts to go to a country that's that unstable. And why would you do that? Would God really call you to do something like that? And so you can't prepare for that, but you can have things thought through. And of course, there's always wisdom involved, but the Sure. bottom line is that the call to the mission field is going to involve a cost. And as much as possible, we try to minimize the cost, but you still got to go. Yeah. And God works in the middle of it. So we did go, and you know, here all these years later, God honored that.
Sure, and that really ties into the next point, doesn't it? You know, there's a sort of a tether attaching it, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
That we look towards our culture's obsession with safety and security and respect it, but at the same time realize the call to the field is not always about safety and security. As a matter of fact, it may be releasing those things for the greater glory of God.
Yeah, and you know, another one, and this is one of those ones that's under the surface that you really don't think about, but you need to be aware of. And that is, when you have deep relationships with brothers and sisters here in your local church and in your local community, and at first they're excited that you and your family are called to go, the nearer your departure date comes, they sometimes can backpedal and say, oh, I'm not really sure you should do this, because they're looking at it from the angle of they're going to miss you, they really love you, they're concerned about your safety over there. And so one of the biggest bumps is what happens when the people that have been a source of encouragement, a source of deep relationship, a source of massive prayer for you, what happens when they start to change their mind and start pushing you or throwing up obstacles for you continuing to go down the path that a while ago they were convinced you should go down?
And there comes that moment where you need to ask yourself, are we going to obey what the Lord is leading us to, or are we going to listen to man's wisdom? And these people are well-intended.
Yes.
Are we going to listen to what the Lord has called us to, or are we going to get distracted by,
yes,
you know?
And, you know, I had a, I want to share this story, because this is kind of, it didn't just happen to me, it's happened to a number of people. When I was in the military, I was in a very specialized part of the military within military intelligence. And when I got out, I was offered two jobs within that realm, and I didn't accept either one of them. So fast forward quite a few years, I come to know the Lord, I become a pastor. I hadn't seen this one buddy that I was in the Army with for a long time. About 9 months before we're ready to leave for the mission field, this buddy comes back into my life. He takes a job with a company here in Southern California. He finds me, he comes to me, he says, what are you doing now? I said, I'm a pastor. He said, ha, you, Jackson, a pastor, ha, ha, ha. And I said, yeah, I'm going to the Philippines with my wife and kids. He said, what, are you nuts? Anyway, long story short, here's what happened. I had never been offered a job since I got out. He comes to me and says, hey, I talked to my boss. He knows your background. He knows what we did in the military. He'll hire you next week at a substantial salary here in Orange County. And can't you see, here's an unbeliever telling me this, can't you see that that's God keeping you from making the mistake of going to that country over there that's so unstable, you know? And I mean, it was like, wait a minute, all these years, never had a job offer based on my military skills since I got out. And now, right when I'm on the path to go to the field, here comes this opportunity. It was totally like a Jonah moment. And so all that to say, expect unexpected opportunities,
yes,
things you always wanted to do, that will jump to the surface once you've battened down the hatches and you're ready to move forward.
You know, Jeff, I experienced something similar, and, mm-hmm. and I've noticed a number of missionaries have experienced that same sort of thing just in those moments before they're kind of cutting off their ties to the States,
mm-hmm.
incredible opportunities come in career settings
yes.
and other areas. And I can't think of a key verse in that, but experientially, I've mm-hmm. seen that a lot. And it's a temptation to tie you down.
Yeah, and I think it's a test of resolve. I think God permits those things to happen because he is, you know, he's wanting us to know ourselves. Have we really heard his voice? Are we convinced? And so forth. So, so there's, you know, there's all these, you know, for lack of a better word, rapids that you encounter when you're on the path to the field.
Well, we're moving into our next one, and this one's truly the snake that might jump out of the tree for us, right? When we talk about problems with support raising and challenges that may come with raising support.
Yeah, and, you know, the bottom line is raising support is like the big black cloud that no missionary ever wants to face, but it follows them around all the time. You've got some great insight on that, so kind of just... what happens when they're feeling overwhelmed, Ed? What do you recommend?
Well, you start to get challenged with support raising. You start to feel defeated. You start to say, this is never going to happen. Let me say that the longer it takes you to get to the field, usually the better. God's still doing a work in you. He's going to do a work in us until the day we stop breathing. You know, even Paul said, you know, he's not yet achieved. But really, in that season before the field, it's a time of you submitting to the Lord and learning to trust him in a new way. He's been trusting you in your career or however you've been getting by in those years, and now he's asking you to trust him in the way he's going to provide through the support-raising process. And it's a moment of surrender. It's also, as much as it's surrender, it's a moment of hard work and being diligent to do the work it takes to raise support.
Yeah, and I think one of the obstacles, you know, in that realm of support-raising is, you know, you start off kind of excited. You write the letters, you make contact with friends, you get a few responses, and then all of a sudden it seems to go dry, like you're not getting any responses. And then the other thing, and I'm sure you experience this because we all do that have been in the mission field, is there are some people that you really know and love who, when you first told them, they're like, we're totally behind you. And then they never get behind you.
Yeah.
And right when you're discouraged about that the people who promise to maybe financially support us are not actually taking action to do that, it is amazing how when that happens, somebody you hardly know, somebody who maybe you've never met, but even if it's somebody, you know, that you've only met one or two times, all of a sudden they get touched by God and they get behind you substantially. So all of a sudden now you've got people that are investing in you, and that relationship is going to deepen with them, while the ones you have deep relationships already with are going to maybe shrink because they're not participating.
Exactly. And let me throw it out this way. We've just put a couple blog posts up on this subject, but what we need to do to deal with these rapids is then deal with, to borrow from Africa again, is to kind of wrestle with the two gorillas that are in the room. And it goes to what Jeff said. And the first gorilla is that the people that understand missions, the people that have been behind missions for years, and they know you're going to ask for support. They know what it takes to send missionaries. You're not the first one, probably won't be the last one.
Yes.
That comes to them.
Yeah.
They understand. And when you don't ask or you don't give opportunity for them to join in on your team, there's something wrong. In a sense, it's a little bit deceitful. So that's your first gorilla that you need to wrestle with and say, you know what? They know how this works. I don't need to be ashamed of this. And if they don't, it doesn't change our relationship. I still love and respect them. You examine your heart. My heart is, I love this person. And I just want them to be in prayer for me and to know what's going on. And that's enough, only that. Now, the second gorilla is we live in an age where not everyone has been in a church their whole life. They may be a new believer or they may be new to the missions world, and they have no idea. They may think you're getting a check from the denomination, or they may think that the church is putting you on staff, and they have no concept that you're going to need to raise support. Wrestle with that gorilla and explain to them. They may not end up supporting you, and that's okay because you love them and you respect them. But what can also happen is a missionary down the road, another one another year later, a year or two later, going to a place completely different from you, they understand what's coming, and now they may support God's work in that person. And you were part of making that happen. It's a good thing. Wrestle with your own heart, wrestle with those gorillas, that you are not using your relationships. You're giving them opportunity to join in the work of God. And if they don't, you're trusting. They've sought the Lord, and the answer was no. And that's okay. It's good. You don't want a dime that's not meant for the mission field.
Yeah, and along those lines, you know, when we went to the field, I had a lot of friends, guys I used to work with, that weren't believers. And because they knew me and I had a relationship with them, they wanted to know what we were doing. So, in fact, you know, some of our a major financial gift we received that blessed our family over there came from an unbeliever who heard about our need over there and then responded to that need. And so a lot of times Christians are leery of sharing their vision and what God's called them to do with unbelievers. And I want to just encourage, you know, anybody listening to do that, to share with everybody you know, because a lot of people recognize, wow, that's kind of self-sacrificial to move to another country and make a difference in other people's lives, and they want to get behind that. Don't limit that God might want to use them to support you.
I think that's one of the examples of turning a rapid into a blessing, in a sense, in that as someone receives a support letter or just really a prayer letter that you haven't spoken to in years, maybe a former teacher, maybe a former teammate, maybe, you know, someone from your sorority or something of that nature, and they've been kind of curious, hey, what is that person up to? And now they see that you are going off to the nations, you're going to do a sacrificial thing to bring the love of Jesus to people you don't know, that strikes them. And that may be a witness into them, maybe never resulting in support, that's okay, but you are now still being a witness into their life where they're saying, what's with the Lord that this person claims they worship? And they want to know more. And that is when this challenge now becomes a blessing.
Yeah, and I think, so within sort of the theme of Rapids, support raising is one that you're aware of from the beginning. But once you're in the process, there are some nooks and crannies that are gonna you know, jump up in front of you that you need to deal with. And kind of what we've talked about will help you to do that also.
I can't emphasize enough, though, those rapids are usually overcome with a submission and a work. And yes. I know those may sound contradictory. It's a submitting to the Lord's will, but doing the work it takes to raise support. Raising support is work.
Absolutely, it is. And if you're unwilling to put that work in, then, you know, that may be an indication that you're not ready to go, at least yet. It may not mean that you're not called, but it definitely is an indication that you may not be ready yet to take that step.
And that will mellow out those rapids a bit.
Yeah. Another rapid, again, and we've hinted at this a little bit already, as you're beginning that path downstream, or even as a local church is moving towards sending one of their own, is, you know, interpersonal relationship.
Yeah.
Conflict that comes up over, you know, how money is spent, conflict over what, you know, what one person thinks is essential to go and somebody else has a different opinion on what's essential. You know, one person's need is another person's want,
sure,
depending on their perspective. So part of, you know, this process, some of the rapids you're going to hit are conflict and interpersonal relationships with people you know and love, both here and then in our next podcast we'll talk about once you're on the field, but especially even on the way to the field, interpersonal conflict.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's no surprise that probably most of our listeners know this, Jeff, is that, you know, that interpersonal conflict is one of the great problems for missionaries. It brings more people off the field than any other cause. And it's, we need to wrestle with that rapid.
It really does. And that's kind of one of the reasons why, you know, we at Shepherd Staff, we really promote, like, even pre-field training, where, you know, you're part of a larger group of people that are being trained and you're living in close proximity and community with one another during the 2 weeks of training or however long it is. And all of a sudden, you know, you're seeing conflict and tension between you, your family, and other people that are part of the training. All that is so valuable to prepare you for what's downstream.
Because it's only going to get more intense on the field.
Yeah. So I think that's, you know, that there are probably other things that we're not covering. But the reality of it is, if a church has made the decision to send somebody called to go, or the person who's called to go is sure God's called them to go, or others in their church are for sure they're called to go and we want to send them, there will be rapids. There'll be obstacles, distractions, dangers, and being aware of them is the number one step for overcoming them, letting them not conquer you.
Yeah, don't be surprised in that season before the individual sends out or the church prepares to send that individual out, that things may be changing in the location they want to go. Teams start to disintegrate, as we've mentioned, you know, financial situations, political situations, even natural disasters and such. All that can cause, all that can be rapids. Those can be waterfalls. You know, they can be more than rapids, so to speak. The missionary and the church needs to be very sure of the call. That way they can say, you know what, these are challenges, no doubt about it. We need to take them seriously. We may need to make some course adjustments to get around these rougher areas, but we're still called. We still need to get down the river. That part doesn't change. So we need to make sure that we know that the Lord has called that church to send these missionaries into that river.
Amen. I totally agree.
Anything else you would add, Jeff?
No, I think that pretty much covers what we can cover within this context. So yeah, just knowing that they're out there, being prepared is the key.
Well, we ask you right now, just take the time, go over to iTunes and click subscribe. And if you would, write a review for us. We would appreciate that. Until next time, we ask that the Lord bless you, and we look forward to that next time we can speak.